I love it. I love it. Come on, you may have a seat. Come on, greet somebody next to you, man. Give them a high five. Welcome to Believers Chapel, man. Pumped, truly, that you are with us. Man, it is so good, truly, to see you this morning. Man, if you would just bow your heads just for a moment, man, I need to just want to speak for a moment on Jesus and salvation and the truth of what we're singing. Like, we need to put our praise into practice. And truly, that he alone is worthy. He has no rival. He has no equal. He stands alone above all. He's in absolute, complete control. He is sovereign. He is God Almighty, worthy to be praised. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, for his greatness is unsearchable. Do you know the Lord? Like, we sing about Jesus, and we sing about Jesus as our healer, even spiritually, in the cross, even sickness and disease. We know that we stand behind the cross. We know that God's wrath was poured out on his son as a sacrifice for you and I. But do you sing, and we sing, and we love our worship, and it's amazing, and it truly is putting Christ very much in the center of our attention, of our worship. It is about him. It's amazing. But do you know him? Do you truly know Christ as Lord and Savior? The Bible is just so simply clear on this. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means every single person in the entire world who's ever breathed a breath is worthy of death because of sin. For all have sinned. Every single human being swims in the same pond of sin. We all are equal in sin. And because of that, there had to be a solution. Because the Bible says the wages of that sin equals death. That death is an eternal separation from God himself in a damning place called hell. Church, hear this, man. Get this. There's two teams, man. There's Team Jesus, which leads to eternal life, and there's Team Satan that leads to an eternal hell. And you're on one team or the other. There's no other games, man. There's no other teams. And God has done everything for you already to provide the way of salvation. Has been provided through the cross. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said, I'm it, man. I'm the only way. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believeth on him shall not perish, but you will have everlasting eternal life. Like, it's already been done for you. Do you know Christ as Savior? Do you realize, man, eternity is in the ballast here today? When you breathe your very last breath here on the earth, will you be absent from the body to be present and to be home with the Lord? Will that be you? Real questions. Coming out of such a time in his presence that he truly is worthy. And only him deserves our praise. That all of this was covered on the cross for Jesus Christ. Do you know Christ as Savior? The Bible says three things. You need to repent, you need to believe, and you need to confess. Repent means I need to change my mind towards sin. I get it. Sin equals death. I get it. Sin is that issue that came into mankind, and all mankind have sinned, and I get it. I know it. I got to change my mind towards sin. Number one, repent. Number two, believe Jesus is the answer. It's only Jesus. I believe that Jesus, you put yourself on a cross. I trust that you are my Savior, that you are my Lord. I trust that that price that was paid was for me. That was a blood sacrifice on my behalf. You bought me back, and I need to confess that you are Lord. You are in charge. You are now Master. You are Sir. I repent from my sin. I acknowledge you as the Savior, and I call on your name for salvation, and I confess that you are now Lord of my life. With heads bowed, man, where are you in this? Do you know Christ as Savior? Do you know Christ as Lord? Maybe you're in this place. Maybe you're online. Maybe you're on the radio. Where are you in this? This is the question, man. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Today's your day. Today can be your day. Father, I ask in Jesus' name, by the work of your Holy Spirit, that you would move powerfully in this place, in this moment. That you truly, folks, you would repent from your sin in this moment. Just simply say, Lord, I repent. I change my mind towards sin. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner, and I acknowledge that. And I repent from my sin. I turn and I change my mind towards it. And Jesus, I acknowledge that you are Savior. And in this moment, I believe that you died on a cross for me. I trust that's true. I believe in you, Jesus. Number three, in this moment, I confess that you are Lord. You are in charge. I surrender. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we just ask as we get into your word today, Father, that you would speak to us. God, we would hear it. We would respond to it. God, it would just sit in our spirits today. Let us hear from you in Jesus' name. Come on, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on. I would love to talk more about Jesus. Come on, after service, if you want to talk more about Jesus, we love Jesus. We love talking about Jesus. We believe this whole thing, beginning to end, is about Jesus. And Jesus is the solution to our problem. Every single person has the same problem. And that is why we worship. We believe that he deserves our highest praise. He deserves our highest praise because of who he is and because of what he's done. Come on, church, on the count of three, I need some juice this morning. Come on, one, two, three. Amen. That's it. 11 a.m. Let's go. Come on, if you're new to BC, juice that you're with us. Come on, buckle up, baby. Let's go. Philippians chapter 4. We will get through this. This is the close to going through Philippians. I have loved studying this letter. It has been fantastic. It has been a long journey. Journey ends today. Next week, I am hopeful to get into the beginning of our marriage series. We will have 1 week off from that when Dr. Wayne Lewis comes. We're excited that he's going to come visit. He's got a special message for us. I'm juiced for that. And then we get back into our marriage series. But I got to get it started, man. I got to get the marriage started. Fix your family, fix your future. Fix your family, fix your future. And we're going to talk about that. We're coming right out of the gate next week. Ladies, you will want your man's here. I promise you that. You will want your man's here next week. It's going to be a great week. I will speak to men and being that head of the house and being that workforce and that protector and that provider and being bold and unashamed. And like I did, whoo, I could preach it now, but we cannot. Come on, we got to finish Philippians. Let's go. Come on, last 2 weeks ago, man, we talked about last week, God moved powerfully. We changed directions in our service. It was an amazing week. But the week before that, we talked about the beginning of Philippians 4 when it speaks of mind your mind. 2024, what is it to mind your mind? What happens when you fix your mind, man? You train your brain. You start to really think on that which you're thinking about. Why am I thinking on this? Why is this sitting in my head? We talked all through that 2 weeks ago. Come on, you can go online and check that out. So mind your mind, and the close to this whole book is mind your money. What happens, church, when you mind your money? Believers Chapel is in a super healthy place, and our finances, I am so grateful to those who understand tithes and offerings, to those who give within this body, to those who give gifts outside of this body. Maybe you're listening online and you've sent gifts. We are so grateful. We are healthy. I'm excited that 2025, we will pay this building completely off. It'll actually be by the end of this year or even 2025. That is the only note that we have. We own everything else in all of our properties, vehicles, otherwise are paid in cash, and we're juiced about that. We are healthy. So we are finishing Philippians 4. It has to do with your finances. I am excited for today and the essence of what this speaks to us. And I believe today will be a change of perspective on how I steward that which God has given to me. Today is about stewardship, right? Today is about how I handle the possessions of another. If you have been in charge of stewarding something, God has given you something, then it's a matter of how you handle his stuff, right? When you are babysitting, you are stewarding the child of another, and you want to steward that child extremely well, right? So it is tending to the possessions of another. That's what stewardship means. It's not yours, but you have been given a responsibility with it, and what you do with it matters. That's stewardship. So come on, let's get into this, man. Philippians 4 says this. Where are we at? Where do I want to start? Verse 10. We'll go with 10. Come on, I love it. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have received your concern, that you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I, watch this, I want you to get this, 11, 12, and 13. Like, not that I speak from want, for I have learned, highlight that, for I have learned to be content with whatever circumstance I am. Like, can we Could we honestly be able to speak that in truth? I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. Church, there is a wide range of circumstances that you could find yourself to be in your journey. And my man is saying, listen, I have learned. Like, that's some deep stuff when he says, I have learned. Listen, I have been there and I have done that. Like, listen, I encourage you, when you are going through it, find somebody who's been through it, been there, done that, but came out on the other side with their hands raised, saying to God be the glory. Because there's so many times, man, church, that I would sit down with people and I haven't experienced the struggle that they're going through, and I don't pretend. I don't act like I know what you're going through, because I do not. My encouragement is to find somebody, or there are times that I point you in the right direction for when you meet somebody who says, I have learned, which means I have been there and I have done that, and I know how to come out with my hands raised. I know how to come out with my eyes focused on the King. I know how to come out on top of this circumstance. Like, church, when someone says, I have learned, that means I have been there and I have done that. And these are the people that I encourage you to sit down with and take counsel from the ones who have been there in your circumstance and done what you are doing, but they have come out with their eyes up. They've come out focused and dialed into Jesus Christ, giving him honor and praise and glory. These are the people that you dial into. These are the people that you deal with, the people who says, I have learned. Because these are the ones who have been there and done that. And my man Paul says, I have been there and I have done that, for I have learned to be content. I am good in any circumstance. Can we say that? I am good in no matter what season of life, I've learned. If I've got it all, I've learned. If I've got nothing, I've learned. In a season of blessing, I've learned. In a season of struggle, I have learned to be content in every circumstance. This is deep. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. For I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how it is to live in prosperity. And in every circumstance, I have learned, he says it twice, in every circumstance, I have learned the secret to being filled and to going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. Paul's like, I have been there and I've done that. I've had everything and I have lost everything. I've had my people and I have lost my people. I've had the finances and I've lost the finances. I've had steak and lobster at any time I wanted, and now I'm eating out of people's garbage can. Like, he says, I have had it all. I know what it is to have and I know what it is to have not, and I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance. But there's a reason. Here it is. Here's where we focus. Here's where we dial in. Verse 13, coffee mug verse, bumper sticker verse. You might have it engraved somewhere. You might have a tattoo somewhere on your body that says Philippians 4:13. And I love it. And you know it. And you have it somewhere. For I can do all things, what? Through him. That's Christ who strengthens me. How has he learned to be content? Because he's not leaning on his own understanding. He's not leaning on the strength that he has in the struggle in himself. He's leaning on the very one. This is what I have learned. I have learned to have it all and be content. I've learned to have nothing and be content, for I can do all things. Having everything or having nothing, I can do all things through him. Dial in. Amen. This is where he's focused. This is where he's dialed in. It's not on the circumstance. It's not on the people, places, and things. No, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. When I am weak, then I am made strong. Church, if we get this, we can go on to our finances. Because he speaks in reference to finances here. I've known what it is to have it all. I've known what it is to have nothing. And in every season of life, highs and lows, I have learned. How many know sometimes when you're learning, it can be a struggle? Like, sometimes when you're being taught, sometimes when you're going through the lesson, it's like, oh, this is a difficult lesson. Man, this is a difficult time in life. And Paul's encouragement is keep going. because it's a lesson and you have to learn something in this. How many times when you're in the middle of it and there is a struggle or there is a circumstance that at times, if it's self-induced struggle, repent, ask God for forgiveness, and move on, right? If it's just something that's happened in life that is not self-induced and it's just this, okay, here's the struggle. Man, I need to learn in this. I need to lean into this. I believe God's got my back on this and we're going to continue to press forward in this. For I can do all things, not in my own strength, but in him who strengthens me. In Christ, I'm dialed into Jesus. I'm leaning into him at all times. I'm pressed on towards him. I'm leaning into him because I have learned a lesson to be learned that, man, in every circumstance, I'm going to be okay. We need to learn that lesson at times, church. Because here he goes. Watch this. Here it is. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. For you yourself also know, Philippians, that the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of finances, in the matter of giving, but you alone. He has such an affection for the church of Philippi. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my need. Like, I'm even in a different town, and here you just keep sending me the financial gifts that I need. Not that I seek the gift itself. This is huge, right? Verse 17, I want you to highlight this, get this. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit which increases to your account. Church, this is huge. I'm not only just seeking for myself, but there something happens here. When you understand and dial into biblical principle, if you want God's blessing, the truth is this, you must do it God's way. If you want God's blessing in every area of your life, if you want God to bless your marriage, do it God's way. You want God to bless your finances, do it God's way. You want God to bless your children, do it God's way. Right? You want God to bless your business, you do it God's way. I want God's blessing and hand of favor on this church, we got to do it his way. Right? So when you understand this principle that he's talking about, listen, it's not the gift that you gave to me, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. If you sow sparingly, you will reap. If you sow bountifully, you will reap. So, church, there is this very true spiritual understanding of reaping and sowing. And Paul's like, listen, Philippi, I'm juiced and I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful. But you know what I'm more thankful for? That which was planted into your account. And that's that spiritual heavenly account. Church, you hear me say it often, man. What is it for you and I to live for our leaving? What is it that we actually realize my time here on earth? Ah, man, it's a blink. It's a breath. It's a shadow. It's a vapor. Like in all of biblical understanding, life on earth is short, but life isn't ever, ever over. That there is an eternity that awaits for us. And in the believer, the one who knows and loves Jesus Christ, the one who gets the sacrifice that I am a sinner saved by grace, by the precious blood of the Lamb, if that is your statement of faith, then you realize, no, I need to live now in the very short time that I have for my leaving. Because there is an account waiting for me in heaven of reaping what I have sown here in this very short temporary time. Church, when we begin to put things into perspective, this is my heart for today, is that we as a body and we as an individual and we as a husband and a wife and us even as teenagers and college students and young adults and those who are single, that we understand I need to put things back into perspective and put things back into an alignment of how I'm stewarding that which God has given me. Do I realize it all came from him? And what am I doing with it? Come on, look at Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. Well, this just gives us a very simple, clean, pure, easy example of what Paul is talking about here in Philippians. And it says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, verse 19, it says this, for do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth, rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But, highlight that, underline that, circle that. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth, rust destroy, or thieves do not break in and steal. Like Jesus himself is saying, listen, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Well, he tells us what treasures means. It is talking about your finances. And then he says this in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Listen, and we know this is true. Like, money's a big deal. Like, your finances are a big deal. Your money's a big deal. Like, when you're talking marriage, this is a true fact. Like, sex and money are the two biggest issues in marriage. Two biggest issues. If you're having good sex in marriage and in marriage only, if you're having good sex and you're good with your finances and you know what you're doing with your money, most likely you probably have a pretty decent marriage. Like, that's just a fact. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. Ain't got time for that today. But the reality, how important it is to get money right, how important it is to do our finances right. Right? Finances are mentioned over 2,000 times in the Bible. It's a big deal. Right? So what we do with it matters. And Jesus is like, listen, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Listen, we could look, and you could just go home and look at your bank account, and you could look at every transaction for 2023. And in every transaction in 2023, it would show you what your priority was for 2023. That's what this is saying. Right? And it should be, you know, put your treasures where moth and rust do not destroy. And please hear this. This isn't speaking of putting every penny into the church. He gives us a whole system of tithes and offerings, right? That's what the Lord gives us, tithes and offerings. Tithe is a tenth. Offering is the blessing on top of that. And when you understand the reality of that and you set things to priority, Renee and I, before we got married, been married for 30 years, before we got married, we got engaged, start talking serious stuff. Okay, finances, children, what's this look like? If you're talking about finances and children on your first date, be friends first. How about that? Can we do that? Come on. I'm going to have 14 kids. Have a great day. I'm glad I knew that on the first cup of coffee. Good. Bye. My mom had 12 and my sister had 14. I'm trying to beat them all. I'm going for 15. Listen, I'm going to pay for your coffee, but you will not see me again. God bless you. Have a nice day. Come on. Woo! But anyways, like, you know, when you're starting to have real conversations about like things of life and we're talking about finances, because we have to be in unity. Renee and I have to agree on things in life and walking in a place of unity because there's blessing in that. And we made the very real decision on what it is to tithe off the top. I think God deserves our money before the government does. We tithe off the top, and that is the first line of the budget line. Tithes and offerings, and then comes mortgage, and then comes car payment, and then comes, and we live off of everything else, but that is the first line of the budget is tithes and offerings, and then you figure out what it is to live on the rest. And church, when you find that, you see there is such blessing. My dad would always say, Sean, you can never outgive God. Sean, you can never outgive. He owns it all. How can you outgive the one who owns it all? How can you outgive the one who owns everything? And church, what is our perspective to the reality of where my treasure is, there my heart is, where my wealth goes, then there goes my heart. And then he says this, right? So he talks about your treasure, and then he talks about your eyes. He talks about how you see it. How do you see the treasure that you have? Is it yours or is it his? How do you view it? How do you see it? For the eye, this sounds confusing. It's really not. Verse 22, the eye is a lamp to the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, how you see it, your whole body will be full of darkness. For that is the light that you, the darkness, and the great, how great is the darkness? It's how you see that which your treasure is and who it belongs to. So when you're looking at the treasure, the Bible speaks of finances. Again, I'm not speaking invest every penny into church. I'm saying follow the pattern that God set up, tithes and offerings, because the Bible speaks of having an inheritance for your children's children. The Bible speaks of savings. The Bible speaks of inheritance. The Bible speaks of leaving finances behind to your children's children. Like, the Bible speaks of being wise with your finances, being smart with your money. Your money matters, and it makes a huge difference when you follow biblical pattern and understand what it is to sow, what it is to reap, what it is to save, what it is to spend, and what we're spending on. Like, all of that is valuable within Scripture to leave an inheritance to your children's children, right? And it says this, it's a matter of how you see it and whose do you see that it belongs to. Verse 24, for no one can serve two masters. It's your treasure, it's how you see your treasure, and then you got to ask who's in charge of the treasure. Who's in charge of the treasure? For no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one, love the other, or he will be devoted. That means to hold a firm grip to the one and despise the other, for you cannot serve God and wealth. Amazing, this is coming right from Jesus. You cannot serve God and money. You can serve one or the other. And someone once said, you know, I believe it was Jimmy Evans, I believe he said, money becomes a horrible master. Money becomes a horrible master. If you allow money to be your master, it is a terrible leader. If you master your money and you're the one who's in charge and you tell your money where it's going, instead of your money telling you where it's going, it really looks to be who's in charge. If you love your money and you worship your money and money becomes your master, then God is not. That's what this is saying. And so when you begin to break down the reality of, okay, what is my perspective when it comes to the finances that I have been given stewardship? Come on, let's look to Matthew 25, please. So when you think stewardship, what are other areas truly in your life that God has given you a gift that you were called to steward well? You know, right away it comes to marriage. Like the Bible says, speaking about a wife, he who finds a good wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. That's Renee's favorite verse. Like, it's on the fridge. She had it, me tattooed it on my arm. No, I'm kidding. It's not. But she mentions that in that sense of, Sean, I am a good thing, and because of me, you have obtained favor from the Lord. Like, that's truth. Inheritance and wealth are from the Lord, and a good gift. The Bible speaks in Proverbs 19:14 that a wife is a good gift from the Lord, and she is prudent. Like, when you begin to see, okay, God, Renee truly is a gift. Renee is a gift. And when I know that she is truly from you, and I have obtained favor from you, God's favor is on me because of Renee, and I believe that Renee is a gift from the Lord, how do I steward that gift well? How am I stewarding that which she belonged to the Lord before she belonged to me? She was God's daughter before she became my wife. I don't mean belong in a bad way, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, she was the Lord's first. And then she married me. She was God's daughter first before she married me. And I realized that God is the one who so beautifully put us together. And I married way up. I told her, I said, girl, I married up. And when you can say you married up, you know what that means? Like, when you marry up, like, she way is way much better than me. You know what that screams about me? That I had game. That's what that means. Like, gentlemen, if you know she's way out of my league, then you had game. Because you didn't deserve it, but you had something. Baby, you had something, and she's like, my man got game, and I hope you still got game, because we, you know, you got to keep that passion alive. You know what I'm saying? Let me take a drink for a minute. What is it in a couple weeks anyways? But like, what is it when you understand other areas of your life that you're called to steward well? What about children? Psalms 127, so children are a gift from the Lord, that they are a gift and they are a reward. Church, how do we steward that well? How do you look at your child and say, you have been given to me by God, and you are truly his, and he's given you to me that I may tend to his property well. Don't never forget where your gifts came from. They are given to you by God Almighty, who controls all things. He is God. And that child is a gift. How you steward that gift well matters. Listen, church, I married Renee, and she was like, listen, Sean, I really want to stay home. I don't want to work. I want to stay home because I believe that it is my call as a wife and a mother to stay home and steward these gifts when we have children. And man, when your wife is saying that, and you're like, okay, like, I'll work. I'll go to work. I'll work three jobs. I still work three jobs. I work here, I work Allegheny PD, and I work Holiday Valley. I've always worked three jobs. Like, whatever it takes, Renee, that you stay home to be a good steward of the very gifts that God has given us. I can't understand how difficult it would be for a mom who works, and some of you have to work, and I get that, but to be a mom who makes the choice to say, you know what, I would rather go to work when my child is 6 weeks old and then drop them off at daycare when they're 6 weeks old. I have a hard time with that. I have a difficult time when you can see this child as a gift and you're dropping off at daycare at 6 weeks because you need three cars for two people. I'm just like, how are we like really putting things in perspective here in the very short time that we have to steward that which God has given us to his honor and glory? And I speak to the men in this, like, men, go to work. If your wife needs to stay home and steward the gift well and be mom. Listen, that child needs mom way more than the child needs you at this point. When they're infants and when they're babies and toddlers, they need mom. They need mom. They need mom. They don't need the daycare worker. They need mom. It's beautiful. It's God's plan. And you look at Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 woman, she worked. There's nothing wrong with working. Some of you have to work, and I get that. But just maybe if we start saying, God, what is another way? God, I need to get back into perspective of stewarding this amazing, beautiful little gift who needs me. How do I steward this well? Moms, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know that gift needs you. That gift needs you. When you begin to see God owns it all, that very car that you drive was built out of God's material from the earth. The very house that you live in, I hope you live in a beautiful home. I hope you drive a great car. I'm into God's blessing. I believe God will bless. I believe it will in beautiful finances. I'm never against anyone making a lot of money. I'm never against anyone driving a beautiful car. Buy a new car, buy a new truck, do what you got, live in a great house. I'm a big fan. I love that. But realize it came from him. Everything used to build your house came from his materials. It's his. So what happens when today is just kind of this perspective shift to be like, how am I truly stewarding that which belonged to him? Jesus gives us a parable of this in Matthew 25, verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. Who entrusted his possessions to them. That stewardship. God's possessions that he's entrusted to you. Stewardship. This is a reference of Jesus coming and Jesus leaving. And while he's gone, what are we doing with that which he's given us that's his? This is that story. This is that parable. Jesus speaks about himself who's here now present as he's telling this. But Jesus goes on a journey, which he's still on that journey. And there's a day that he comes back to settle accounts. Remember Philippians, the account, the profit, the profit of financial gain that is to your account. Church, what happens when you realize I am having an account made up in heavens, store up your treasure in heaven. Like there's an account that's taking place in heaven. Jesus on a journey, still on that journey, has entrusted his possessions to them. To the one he gave five talents. And just so you know, when you see talent, if you do a deep dive into how much a talent was, one talent was worth a lifetime wage. One talent, this is a lot of green, right? This is a lot of grizz here. One talent is a lifetime of wage. This brother got five talents, and to another two talents, and to another one talent. It's not like the dude with one got gypped. It's a lifetime of green, right? Like, you got to understand the reality of this. Each according to his own ability. Each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. That's huge. Just because one person has more doesn't mean that any less than of those who have less. Don't miss that. Each according to his own ability. Immediately, here it is. Highlight that. Immediately, verse 16. The one who had received the five talents went and traded with them, gained five more talents. That's increase, double. In the same manner, the one who received two talents gained two more. That's increase. That's double. But the one who received the one talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, hid his master's money. Whose money? Hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Highlight that. Underline that. This is a futuristic event. He is speaking of that which is going to happen. settle accounts with them. The one who had received the five talents came up, brought five more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted, look whose possession, look at stewardship. You entrusted five talents to me. See, I have gained five more talents. And his master said to him, well done, thy good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your masters. So the one with five brought back five more. And you can see Jesus giving him a high five going, well done, thy good and faithful slave. You have been so faithful with few. That's a lot. But in the one who owns it all, it's a few. Get it? Get it. That's a lot. But to the one who owns everything, it's nothing. And then the one who had the two came and said, Master, you've entrusted two talents to me, and say, I have gained two more. And his master said to him, same thing. Well done, that good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things, enter in the joy of your master. Isn't it amazing that you hear it at funerals and you hear this story told? I only hope that when I go to be before the Lord and I'm standing in his presence, I will hear, well done, thy good and faithful slave. Like, we talk about this. Like, we hear this. Man, I want to stand before my Savior to be able to hear, well done, thy good and faithful slave. Church, that is amazing. But word check, we've got to do a word check here. Isn't it amazing that that's in reference to your finances? Isn't that amazing that's in reference to money? You think it's important? You think it's important to the Lord on what we do with our finances? You think it's important with the Lord if you are generous with that which he's given you? Like, this is standing before the Lord one day. Well done, thy good and faithful slave. That's in reference to finances. That's amazing. And then the one that had the one, he went and buried and did nothing. And the master said, what are you doing? He's like, I've known you to be a hard man, which he didn't know him at all. That was his perception, or that's what he was making it up. I went and buried it. He says, you at least could have put in the bank for interest. You did nothing. And there was consequences to him doing nothing. But church, what happens in our true perspective to say, God, I know this, that you own it all. Like, my biblical perspective through a true word search is, Lord, you own everything. That which I have is yours. What I'm doing with it, it matters. We're going to put some verses up before we close. It's Psalm 24, verse 1. I want you to see this. I just want to make this very clear so we get that. So this becomes easy for us to say, God, it's yours to begin with, and I just have to steward it well until your return. And we got to get our perspective on this. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains. The world, I love it, and those who dwell in it. The earth is the Lord's, all it contains. The world and those who dwell in it. Come on, if you could do the next verse, 89:11, please. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all it contains, for you have founded them. Psalm 50, please. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird of the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all it contains. Leave that up. Like church, when we just read this, three places it said, it's mine. When he says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. You know what he's letting us know loud? He's just screaming, Sean, I don't need your help. I'm not asking, Sean, I don't need your help. If I was hungry, I'm not asking you. Everything is mine. I don't need your help. For every beast of the forest, mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird of the mountains. everything that moves in the field, mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all it contains. Could you put Job 34 up, please? And church, this one is kind of like the big daddy of them all. Okay, I get it. The grass is yours. Get it. The mountains, the birds, the cattle. Get it. All that contains me. I get it. But church, what happens when you see like big God, grandeur, majesty, greatness, truly everything belongs to him. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, like it's all his. And then you get to this and he's speaking here and this is great. He says this, if he should determine to do so, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, if he should determine to, like it's his choice, which it is, if he should determine to do so, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together. Man would return to dust. Do we believe that God truly owns it all, even the very oxygen that we breathe? And this isn't a threat. We see nowhere in Scripture that this is going to happen. We see where the flood took out everybody, and we see fire is going to take out the rest. We see that. This isn't a threat. This is what he's saying. If he determined to do so, this is an eye-opening go. No, he could. God Almighty could in a moment say, breath return, and oxygen is sucked out of the earth. How long do you think we would live? Church. We don't see anywhere in Scripture that this is going to happen, but this is screaming to the power of who he is. Everything is his. How are you stewarding it? Are you creating an account up in heaven of your treasures? Are you excited about the profit that's coming to your account? Because you're setting treasures in heaven and not here on the earth. And if we could just stand to our feet, please, come on. Church, what is it to honestly come to an understanding today going, Lord, and even as we're singing and even as you leave today, I hope that this seed is planted deep to realize, how am I stewarding all that you've given me? How am I stewarding my marriage? How am I stewarding the gifts of my children? Quality time, church. Quantity, quality, time. God, how am I stewarding my finances? And I am so grateful to this church. We are healthy financially, because you get it. This is your house, man. This is your home. This is your family. We're here collectively unified to do a work in this region that has never been done. We want to do a work here in this region that has never been done. I want to see a year in 2024 of so much that we can do in this region for the glory and for the kingdom of God. Every single one of us matter. Every one of us matter to that. We need to get our priorities. We need to get our perspective. We need to steward that which he's given us well. Come on, let's close in a song. If anybody needs prayer for any reason, man, you need prayer for healing, you need prayer and talk about Jesus as we did in the beginning. We'd love to talk to you more about the King of Kings and our salvation. If you need prayer for any reason, church, we'll just meet you right up here. Come on.